Welcome to Flashback Fridays with the Heart Journey podcast. Today, we're going back to the World Women's Wholeness Summit that we did in 2021. And we're going back to a talk that Stephanie Gretzinger and I did on worship. And the reason why I chose this for this Flashback Friday is because we're right in our series of From Codependence to Christ Dependence. And we've talked about codependence being a worship disorder. And today with Stephanie, we're talking about hungering for him. I just listened to this and I'm convicted. I'm like, wow, this was released during COVID. And it was during a time when we were doing the summit. And I feel like I want to give God more time and to hunger for him more. I'm so grateful for what he's brought me through since that time. And to be honest, I've been through many trials and there's been a lot of lamenting since that time and coming through to his victories. And I actually feel in some ways more mature than that podcast. But at the same time, I love the hunger and just the exquisite focus on him. I want you to enjoy this podcast. I want you to think about when Stephanie talks, and Stephanie and I talk about hungering for him and having him be number one. Remember, we're talking about aligning with him, abiding in the vine, and training with him so that just like when you have a room full of metronomes, they begin to sync together. He is the vibration of peace, the vibration of love. He is the greatest power and source and person in the universe, in all of creation. And so we want to sync with him. We want to attune with him. He is our everything. I love you. Enjoy this podcast. And don't forget about our free resources. DrBarbaraMinistries.org/self-parent, DrBarbaraMinistries.org/rejection, tools on helping you grow and healing your inner child, and tools in helping you grow in overcoming rejection. All right, I'll see you at the end of this podcast. Well, hello, amazing, gorgeous you. I am so excited to have my new friend, worship artist and Jesus lover, Stephanie Gretzinger, here with us in the summit.
Thank you for having me. I've been so excited. I've been so excited. Just burning in my heart.
So I've been emailing back and forth with your assistant and y'all, her assistant's like, Stephanie's heart burns for this. And I'm like, she's my soul sister.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm like, what am I going to do with this hunger? I just have such a hunger. We're talking about wholeness rising in her worship, a lifestyle of forever. Amen.
Yes.
Tell us what you're doing right now. I know you've moved from California to Nashville. Some people know you. Some people are being introduced to you for the first time. Can you tell us a little bit of what you're all about?
Yes, my husband and I, I've gotten words about being in Nashville since I was young. I felt like one day I would end up back here. And, you know, when my husband and I were dating, I told the Lord, I won't be with this guy unless you tell him about Nashville. He's a Canadian. So he's like, that's a big move. Mm-hmm. He's like, he lives on the top of mountains. That's where my husband lives. So he's like, I said to the Lord one night, you've got to tell him about Nashville or this is just already, it'll be very clear. He calls me the next day and he said, well, the Lord told me about Nashville. And he said, I had an encounter with the Lord and he told me what was on you and that if we were going to be together, that we would go there. And he said, I know that what I'm meant to do, I can do anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, started us on that beautiful long journey and we just all felt like it was time and felt like the next awakening would come more like the Acts Church around tables and fires where two or three are gathered in upper rooms. And around the table that we were returning to the table of the Lord. And how ironic that then we ended up in quarantine. And that's exactly how it happened. So more like we had no idea how fast that would happen, but the Lord just, we feel really set up. And so we're literally kind of, we feel called to sort of a life of close-knit communion, even though we feel called to the greater gatherings, right? But that it would start around the table with a few. And, you know, so that's really where we're living right now, really connected to the most beautiful, beautiful church here. And feeling so pastored and loved and cared for, and just, you know, asking the Lord a day at a time. My husband's a builder, so he crafts furniture and he designs and he builds houses. He's such a brilliant creative, and I am, like, you know, just dreaming into what the Lord is leading us to do next. Yeah, I'm yes. like I want to gather all the. I still feel like a baby, but gathering all the young worshipers that I can in small groups and just saying, don't forget Jesus, you know, like just yes. please yes. don't leave him out. It's only ever about him, you know?
Yes.
So every chance we get, we try to gather around our table and, you know, worship together and pray together. And yeah, we're just, that's the season we're in. It's tiny and very, very intentional, we feel.
Love it. You know, yeah. I was listening last night to one of the old talks of Catherine Coleman, and I've been listening to them as I go to bed every night because I'm just so hungry for him.
Yes.
And she was talking about the ecstasy of knowing him, you know, and worshiping him. And he is so contagious. We're in a time where we're he is so yes. contagious. He's so amazing.
Yes.
And when we worship him, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the sacrifice of time. In fact, we're recording this at the beginning of the year when a lot of people are fasting. And the Lord recently spoke to me, Stephanie, and I said, Lord, do you want me to fast? He said, you can fast or you cannot fast, but nothing will take the place of the sacrifice of time.
Time. Amen. Amen.
Time. I just believe God is calling women to arise, to sit at his feet like Mary.
Yes.
And there's a fire that's about to consume us.
Yes.
So you've led and taught and experienced worship in profound ways in your work in the field of worship and in worship ministry. What is the Lord speaking to you right now about women? Let's go to the women. What's he speaking to you about women?
You know, ironically, I've actually been asking the Lord about that a lot because, I mean, I'm still very young, but in my first years of leading people in worship, I never wanted to do women's things. I was like, this is all over the place. We're going to get all fancy and talk about all the things that are all the way, you know what I mean? And I was just, and I had this thing and the Lord really corrected me. He really convicted me that, that this was important and that I, you know, was actually hindering him from moving through me in women, in the movement of women in the earth. So I'm so thankful that I listened and yielded to that, because I think the thing he's been talking to me most specifically for women is help thinking, mm-hmm. that we need help thinking, mm-hmm. for many. It's like, it's one thing to take our thoughts captive, right? Mm-hmm. It's another thing to replace those thoughts with this, mm-hmm. until it's the first thing that comes out, right? When we're pressed, this comes out, just like Jesus in the wilderness, right? He was led out to be tempted. And what's the first thing that comes out of his mouth after fasting, whatever? It is written.
Yeah.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word mm-hmm. that proceeds from the Father's mouth, right? So I'm thinking, because as women, we have so much to think about. We're thinking about our husbands. We're thinking about our children. We're thinking about, and even single women, you're thinking about all sorts of things. And they're like these nurturing thoughts. Right? They're different than the mm-hmm. thoughts men have, mm-hmm. but oh my goodness, we need help thinking so that we can have a single thought. We come down to that place of peace, that be still and know, because we yeah. can just keep going and keep going.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the only way to know is to be still.
Yeah.
Instead of having a million unfruitful thoughts, having one single thought yeah. at a time that's toward him, that's yielded to him. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've just really been praying about to the, about the comparison, the those sorts of things that I feel like come after women. And I'm like, we tend to pray it away, but I'm curious to see what you think about this too. Sometimes I feel like we pray away a gift. Mm-hmm. When the Lord puts me next to someone who is bigger than me, mm-hmm. I can either in my flesh go compare myself, and I can pray that away, or I can say, oh, what is the gift of this moment, Lord? You've put me next to someone who's grown something that I have not. And instead of comparing myself, how about I rise?
Yeah.
Can you show me how to rise? What can I learn from this powerful woman who's next to me? Right?
Stephanie, when I think about our precious Jesus, right before he was about to give his gift of his life, he prayed for you and me, and women of God, he prayed for you. If you're not a woman of God, just receive him right now as Savior. Yes. Jesus, come in. I believe you're the one God, the one Lord, the one way to God. And I receive you as my Savior, and I receive forgiveness of sins. Boom, you're saved.
Yes.
But I think about this, what he prayed. He said, I pray not only for you, my disciples, but those who will believe upon you. And Stephanie, here's what he prayed for me and you and all of us women around the world, that they may be one as we are one.
Yes.
That's what Jesus prayed, yes. That we would be one with him and one with one another.
Right.
And I believe that in women, that there's a capacity for oneness that is so great.
Yes.
Because we even struggle with getting a mesh sometimes, you know, with overly so. But and I think we need to rise up in power and rise up in faith and fierceness and together and not compare, but look at how we're compatible, you know. And we need to rise up even at the threat of being stoned in fierceness.
Right.
And I think we can rise up knowing we have each other's backs.
Yes, yes. Isn't it beautiful how when you know, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, as she's pregnant with her promise, she's well into her promise, thinking she was too old, but here it comes. And then Mary, many would think she was too young. Here we come, you know, like completely different worlds, but both pregnant with promise at the same time. And what's the first thing Mary does? She goes to Elizabeth, and their wombs leap, right? Like they rejoiced. Mary went and rejoiced in the promise that was already visible when she couldn't even see her own yet. You know, like she probably wasn't, I don't know if she was showing at that point, but we were meant to do that for one another, to get together and be willing wombs and leap with joy at what God is doing in you and what he's doing in me, and to rejoice in one another.
Yes.
It's what he's doing. Yes. That oneness you're talking about, like what we desire more than anything is to be one with him, to be his beautiful bride, to be a resting place for him, to be somewhere he can lay his head, or he can share his heart, to be a, you know?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I will kind of have a holy jealousy of people that have more intimacy with him.
Totally. Yes.
And he's spoken to me, and he says, just like he said to the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, if you're not familiar with that story, you can Google it. It's pretty easy to find. But he said, son or daughter, everything I have is yours. Everything. Yeah. Stephanie, we got a whole kingdom on the inside of us. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm surprised I even fit in this house.
That's right. Yes.
You know, we think about that shopping store in New York City, that Macy's. I love that Macy's that takes up the whole block. They have one floor for women's shoes.
Wow.
I love that. But we got a whole kingdom on the inside of us, and everything he has is ours.
Yes.
But I believe what's key is this building, this lifestyle of worship that you're talking about, putting him first. Can you talk to us about that sweet, sweet love, sweet, my sweet Jesus loving friend?
Oh, I just want to tell you, I'm so happy to be with you again. I feel stirred and so thankful for this. It's hard to find conversations right now where people just want to talk about Jesus.
Yes.
You know? And I'm so hungry for just to talk about him, to be wherever he is. I'm so thankful for him. Anyways, I think that before, we all have different roles to play in the earth. We all have our way up the mountain that the Lord has for us to climb. to the mountain of his presence. And it looks a little different for everyone, but I do believe that one thing is for everyone. And that is meant to be that unbroken circle of communion, oneness with him, returning to that place where God walked with man.
Yeah.
Without separation, the without separation place, the original intent. And not waiting for heaven, but living with him in that space now, right? As close as we can get, you know? And I think we've made worship about many things over the years. Mm-hmm. We have worshiped many things. Mm-hmm. We've worshiped worship. We've worshiped the program in the church. We've worshiped the format. We have longed for the way that, for him moving a certain way without wanting the whole Christ. We yes. have, there's many things, right? And we've all been guilty of that. I don't say yeah. that as a, in a preaching no. way. I mean, that is true for yeah. every yeah. one of our wandering, we like sheep hearts, you know?
Yes.
But I think, you know, worship was never meant to be an industry. It was meant to be, it's the priesthood. It's those who attend to his presence day and night and stay before him. Without ceasing, there was nothing more precious. This is life, to be near him, to be one with him. And everything else that flows from that place, anything that doesn't flow from that place isn't worth having or yeah. doing.
Yes.
Anything. There's nothing more precious than to know that you are connected and in communion with the three in one. Yeah. And so I think there are many ways that looks, but I may be going off the question now, but I feel the Lord longing, and he's always longed, but especially in these days, like he is longing for us to get our eyes off of everything, because there's no issue. There's no agenda. There is no problem. There's nothing else more worthy of our attention and our affection than he is.
Yes.
Nothing. And the only way to walk this out and to have influence in the earth is to be with him. Right? The only yeah. way to be holy as I'm holy is to be with the Holy One. The only way to be kind is to be with the kindness himself. The only way to have influence is to be influenced by the bridegroom king. Like we don't just read about him and hear about him and know him. That's not how it works, you know? So worship is, it's key, because it takes our focus off of ourselves.
Yeah.
True worship. It's not because he has an ego. It's not because he needs it. It's because he knows that when we see him, it's the natural response. When we look to him, like you're saying, alignment for the assignment, everything comes back into order. And when the assignment becomes to minister first to him alone,
yeah,
that's when it's like, this is worship.
Yeah.
Right?
It's as natural as intimacy in marriage.
Yeah, yes.
It's as natural as
intimacy and more so. In marriage. More yeah. so. Right? Yeah.
You know, I keep getting this picture of this, and I use this particular picture when I teach about the laid down lover. I love that song by Jonathan Ogden. You have one more laid down lover, but the Lord is teaching us to be a laid down lover in our hearts. And I keep seeing this man at this table at this coffee shop with like a dozen red roses and gifts, and he's dressed up and he's just waiting. He's waiting. And he just wants our time. He just wants our time. And in that time, he's going to lavish so much on us. You know, and as women, we have a lot of weight and responsibility. I mean, I was going through yeah. it this morning. I was like, no, stop. I'm just going to sit here and worship him.
Yes.
Sit here.
Yes.
And just, and like you, I've been going back to some of those old songs. Father, I adore you. I lay my life before you.
Before you.
How I love you. Yes. Jesus, I adore you.
Yes.
And et cetera, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Stephanie, I've worshiped along with you, through tribal in different places, and have really enjoyed your heart for worship. And I want to ask you, if you would, to take us into that bedroom with the Lord, to take us into that intimate Holy of Holies and to talk to us about some of these places where, of worship where you've been able to go to with the Lord. I want to ask you to let us peek into the inner chambers of your relationship with the Lord, because I believe when you share, and I'll probably end up sharing some too, my experience, but we want to hear, because I believe in hearing, it's going to wake women up, wake us up. We all need to be woken up. There's no judgment. I want to be more woken up to you're what's saying. Possible.
Yes. Yes. I always, when some, you know, when asked anything similar, I think the first thing I always feel led to say is that there are parts of that space that are always to be kept just for the Lord.
That's right. I get it. Yeah.
And, which I know you wouldn't ask me for that.
Yeah.
But there is that space that is always meant to be, and it's the way that we can keep it and protect it without compromises, that there is that space that is for Him alone.
Yes.
And I believe that in worship, you know, just as a little side note example, when we, or there are songs as an example that I believe the Lord is the only one who's meant to hear them.
Yes. Yes.
And as songwriters, if we can't put away our phones and stop hitting record and trying to monetize on a moment that was meant to be the Lord's alone, we can't be trusted with those other songs that lead the world. So there's that space that is like, you want to protect it. And then there's that side that's like, oh, I read Song of Songs and I want to come out of my skin, you know? I read, you know, that Return to the Things You Did at First. I don't know if you've ever read the book. Do you know Mother Basilea?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Mother Basilea Schlink.
I'm gonna write this
down. And I can give it to you later too. She wrote a book called My All for Him. She's just the most wonderful. She's not Catholic, but mm-hmm. there are like an order of sisters. They're really beautiful. But the whole book is about bridal affection. It's about the bridegroom king and what bridal love for that bridegroom king looks like. She even has a passage that goes, how to know if your love has become weak, or how it's losing its light, that first love. It's all about first love. I think that intimate place is, there's no ambition there. You can't perform in His presence. We can't come and do all the right things. I think it's that we come completely yielding. Like I heard this beautiful pastor talk about it, willing wombs. We've come wide open, my whole life laid bare before You. You already see what's here, right?
Yes.
Coming in with thanksgiving and worship and praise.
Yeah.
You know? So we're coming in to build an altar first. We're coming in to honor Him. We've come to revere Him. We've come, you know, he's wonderful. He's a friend, and He's also holy and to be worshiped, right? To be revered. So it's like that coming in with our heads bowed below our hearts, which is true worship. And it looks a ton of different ways. I mean, I think it's important to offer more at home before the Lord than you would in a room full of people.
Yes.
If we are comfortable dancing before the Lord in a room full of other dancers, but we won't dance at home. If we are moved, then we can know we've been moved by a crowd, by a bigger sound, instead of just by the sound of His voice.
Yes.
And I've found it to be true. He's so wonderful and faithful. The eyes that you look for in secret, the voice that you tune your ears to hear in secret, that is the voice you'll hear in the biggest crowd, in the most chaotic of all noises. Those are the eyes you'll find in a sea of other faces. You'll find His face, because that is what you've nurtured in secret first, before all things, right? More than I long for my husband, who I love so deeply, and I love more all the time, because Jesus, you know, like He helps us love them more. My child, my little one, who is like, you know, my favorite human. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, but more than her face, I long to see His. I have nothing to give anyone I love. if I have not first been loved by him and given myself to him. So I think, you know, those spaces, they may not look the same every time, but there are elements that I try to come offering every time.
Yeah.
And then making sure that I'm not just coming and filling that space. I've not come with an agenda. I've not come with a formula. I've come to sit at your feet, to stare into your face and, you know, remove every part of me that hinders love, right? Like as Catherine prays, I've been watching her too so much. And they're like, she, her favorite scripture of all time was, keep me as the apple of your eye.
Yeah.
It's that. But more than anything, we would nurture, right? Hunger itself will always be hungry again. It's inevitable. We're wired for hunger, but we get to nurture what it is we crave.
Yeah.
Right. And I bet you would teach, I bet you teach brilliantly on that, but like we can train, if we can train our physical bodies to choose to eat this thing that will fuel us rather than this, and it brings us life, mm-hmm. then we do that with our spiritual bodies. We do that with our souls and our we're mind, body, and spirit. We're made in his image, right? So I think when we come into those spaces, like knowing that we have to nurture affection for him.
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm a psychologist, so I feel that I have authority to speak on mental health.
You do.
And what I say for the Christian is, if you are not hungry, you are not healthy.
That's
I also true. Teach a lot on forgiveness, because forgiveness is like one of the biggest things that you can do for your mental health, and that's forgiving yourself. Hey, I want to talk about worship. I think you're going to really like this. One of the things, I have a series of, I have like this journey. I lead people through to wholeness and to launching into purpose, like this membership thing. It's called Hearts Returning Home. But one of the things I do in the third course is I have people stand in those places of greatest devastation in their memory and worship him. Worship him. There's something about, and I don't know what you know about me, but I grew up, I was abused in pretty much every way. So much so I was even homeless part of my senior year because my parents didn't want me. And, you know, my dad died by suicide. I've had a child die and I've had unwanted divorce and lots of domestic violence and lots of physical abuse. And so, and my mom used to tell me she hated me. So those are just kind of the low lights. And so, first of all, I want to say, if I can feel loved, anyone can.
Anyone can. Yeah. That's amen.
But I love going back to the places of those memories. And this is going to sound weird, I know, but let me tell you, this is the sacrifice of praise and worship. And there's so much healing in this to go back. And we don't start here in the wholeness journey. You got to work up to this, but to go back.
Right.
And just worship him and experience him in that very place of devastation.
Yes.
Using my memory, and because God's outside of time, and just worshiping him, him. When I felt like there were monsters in the window because of the way my dad was treating me, just worshiping him in that place, not for what happened, but worshiping him because he's God and he is able to heal my soul and he is my everything.
Yes.
And because he has made me whole.
Yes.
Worshiping him and bringing his presence into every space of darkness, not just out there, but in here.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
That's building an altar.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes.
That makes it holy ground. That takes what is evil, Stephanie, it makes it holy.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
It says Baal has nothing on me in these places.
Yes.
My God is consuming this altar.
That's right. That's right.
What else do you want us to know about our Jesus and worship?
I often think about what I think. My dad passed in May.
I'm so sorry.
Into glory. Thank you. Thank you. He's a wonderful, wonderful God-fearing man. Just a precious, precious saint. And what I think often now, especially, I mean, I'm constantly thinking about heaven now, more than ever before, and thinking about the cloud and that Revelation 4 and 5 picture of the angels and the elders and that throne room vision. And I am longing for that city where the Lamb is the light, right? Where he is the kingdom. And he makes us like pillars in his house that we've like folded into him forever, right? Without any separation. Like there's no darkness there because he's swallowed it whole. He's swallowed it whole. And I think if we could, in the secret place, drink of his word, ask him for the worship, ask him to fill us with the worship that he longs for. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to craft the perfect set for the people, instead of trying to, you know, pick the songs that's gonna make me feel something, but asking him, oh, precious Jesus, what are you longing for?
Yeah.
What's the melody in your heart? Yeah. What is the song that you're longing to hear from your children? And if we come with that, because if we come looking at the Lamb, if we behold the Lamb, then he'll, you know, he makes us beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in his own time. But as we look at him, we behold him and we become more like him. We become nearer to him. And I think it's very simple that we would just make it about Jesus. Yeah. That we wouldn't run past him or fall behind, but that we would look at him and stay so near to him that the songs that flow out of us are truly the songs he wants to hear. And there we're not, and I mean that in secret, and I mean that in front of people, you know?
Yes.
We wouldn't just try to be cool, you know, that we would return to the priesthood, the practice of his presence, ministering first to him, breaking our bottles open like Mary did at Bethany, mm-hmm. that we would literally be a Bethany for him, that we would literally be that, you know, that place, a place where he can recline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I want to share with you, I was just grabbing my mask because this was, first of all, I love bling, but this was me on an airplane coming back from St. Louis recently. We were on the Wholeness Tour and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. We're going to be on planes most of the day. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to give me this day. And I just want you to spend time with me and worship me. And so I was on the plane and planes are loud, which is good because I don't have your voice or my husband's voice, right? Because you guys are amazing. And God loves the way I sound. So here I am, and I'm just on the plane and no one can really see my mouth and what I'm doing. And it's loud. And so I'm sitting there worshiping and singing the new song of the Lord, like you're talking about, just singing the song that he gave me, these simple choruses. And I'm telling you, when we got to our stop, I was so full of him. I didn't even want to tell Tim. It just felt so intimate. Yes. Like, and I, it was hard to walk. It was just so wonderful. And, you know, it didn't come right away when I was singing. It really came more a little bit after the fact. And it's like, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that we must believe he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes. There's nothing like the reward of his presence. There's nothing. And I think, I know that, like, you know, I'm a go-getter, I'm a visionary, I get things done, but I want to always be sensitive to him saying, come away with me.
Yes.
You know, like that Nora Jones song, come away with me.
Come away with me. Yes.
Yes. And I believe he's calling us to that. He's calling us to a double calling right now, to sit at his feet like never before, to be a laid down lover like never before. Yes. And then also to rise up in our calling from that place like never before.
Yes.
You know, we see the fruit of the intimacy in marriage after the fact. We see the fruit, you know, but it's in that worship that thins the heavens. And I think of, when I think about David and the thin heavens that he, King David, that he lived in, as imperfect as he was a worshiper.
That's right.
And it's when I think of those heavens thinning, Stephanie, I think of like a woman's membranes thinning before birth.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
That's so good.
That's what God is doing right now.
Yes. Yes.
That is what God's doing right now.
Yeah.
If you could say one thing to the women of the world, if this was like your one opportunity to speak and you knew you only had one opportunity, what would you say?
I think it is as simple as it can be. I think it's love him first and only. Return to the things you did at first. Yeah. Be a willing womb. Jesus is absolutely everything. Yes. He's everything. He is the treasure. He's the water and the well. He's the hunger and the food. He's the silence and the song. He's everything.
Yeah. Stephanie, do you mind if I speak to the women for a minute? And as we get ready to pray, because I would love for you to pray and for us to pray together for them and release whatever God has. Yeah. I want to speak to y'all who feel discouraged or feel like I used to be in this place and I'm not anymore, or I feel left behind, or I think it's too late. And I want to tell you that God has sent us here today to tell you it's not too late. Listen, I have been through two unwanted divorces and I'm a relationship specialist. Look, if I'm not disqualified, no one is. Okay. And so I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who's left you behind, what mistakes you've made. You know, the person who wrote Amazing Grace went back into the slave trade again before he realized the grace of God after he was saved. God, with all things, all things are possible to she who believes. And I want you to know that Stephanie and I are reaching, we're reaching into, you feel like you were walking on water and you slipped and we're reaching in, we're pulling you up right now. And we're telling you, no, precious baby girl, it's not too late.
That's right.
It's not too old. It's not too far away. You haven't gone too far. Right. In fact, I remember one time I was under some kind of false spirit. With all the memories of abuse I had, there was a time where I kind of had this false memory syndrome where I thought some things happened that didn't. And I had come under this demonic oppression as a Christian. And I began to worship him and get back to my first love, and it broke off. So I want to tell you something as you worship him that's going to break off. All right. Some of you have got turned to alcohol. You're like, I don't think I can get out. It's going to break off as you begin to worship. So we're about to pray for you. You stay tuned. You do not give up. I feel God holding on to you. Your life is about to change. You're about to be like the Samaritan woman that in one moment, she went from outcast among outcasts to the one who led her whole town to the Lord. She was one of the first martyrs. It was said she was equivalent to the apostles. And girl, we're still talking about her today. So billions have been impacted by her story.
Yes.
You still have destiny in you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie, for letting me. All right. Will you begin to pray, and then I'll wrap up, and we'll just pray whatever's in our hearts.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal Jesus to us. You're our helper. You speak to us and you comfort us no matter where we're at. That you lead us to the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus, you said, if we've seen you, then we've seen the Father. And so Lord, we thank you that there is no brokenness in you, that we were made for an unbroken circle of communion, not for cycles of brokenness. We thank you, Lord, that inside of you there is healing and wholeness, and there is a deeper love than we could have dreamt or imagined, that you satisfy the deepest, darkest, most untouched place inside of us, that you have known it, that you knit us together in our mother's wombs, and that you know us well, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that only you can fill those spaces. So, Lord, I ask that everyone at the sound of our voices, every precious woman at any age, just like Mary and Elizabeth, you're never too old and you're never too young. God wants to be one with you, to walk with you. Like in the cool of the garden, he wants to walk with you without separation, without anything in between. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you, even in this moment, that your spirit would fall on each one, that your glory, that your presence would fill their cars, their houses, their hearts, every square inch, and that you would begin to push out the things that have hindered love.
Yes.
You are a great deliverer. You are our great savior. You're the hero of the story. Yes. You're the God who heals us. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. There is no formula. The more we see you, the more we love you. The more we see you, the more we love you. So, Lord, I ask that you would give us eyes to see you, the real you, not through the world's filters, not through social media's filters, not through someone else's story, not through the lens of culture, but through the lens of the Christ who died and rose again for us to be one.
Thank you.
Pray it now for them in Jesus' name, that just like you are the lion and the lamb, both live inside of you, let it be so in us. That we would be tender, that we would embrace that nurturing side, that we would embrace the sweetness that you've put inside of us as women, and also the ferocity, that we would roar in this day, that we would be bold, knowing that you have accomplished all these things on our behalf, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. I just sense that some of you have had a layer of shame over you. It's like you just feel like you can't get through. And I, right now, we just wash you. We wash you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing something right now to just take that shame away. It's like he wants to marry you, and he is cleansing you right now with the washing in the water of his word. Right now in Jesus' name, he is saying, you are my beloved bride. You are acceptable. And we take authority over that shame, and we tell it to go in Jesus' name. And I also pray, Father, for your bride to open up her eyes. I just see he's taking a filter off your eyes to be able to see his eyes. There's so much connection and love and attachment that happens through eye contact.
That's true.
Starts when we're babies with our moms and our dads. And he wants to give you back everything that was stolen from you as far as love and affection and attachment. And right now he's cleansing your eyes to be able to see his eyes.
Yes.
Full of love for you. I speak, we release revelations, we release dreams,
yes.
We release visitations to see the eyes of God, to see the eyes of Jesus and the love coming through. And we take authority over the shame that would block it. We say, no, you're gone in Jesus' name. And we bless you. The Lord is clothing you with his robes of righteousness. There is no condemnation for you. He says you are all beautiful. You are a treasure locked up, Song of Solomon.
Yes.
He loves you, and it's now time to receive it and to enter into that divine dance with him, looking into his eyes. And we release you by faith. We add our faith to whatever faith you have to release you into it right now in Jesus' name. Oh, precious Stephanie, I love you.
I love you too.
This has been so good. Where can we find out more? We have your speaker page. I want you all to go to her speaker page, but is there any place in particular that you want people to have something that you're working on, or a place to learn more about you?
We'll put more out soon about what we're going to be working on, which I shared a little bit with you and hubby. But I think, you know, in these spaces of being still and knowing that oneness with the Lord, I think I don't even really talk about the album very often, but that album Forever Amen that I released this last year, right before we went into quarantine, there's just something intimate and still about it. Mm-hmm. And I think I would hope that these women would find peace and just a peace, you know, like a stillness. It helps you just go, you know, and fix eyes on Jesus. It is for intimacy. It's for communion. So if anything, I would love to share that with them.
Yes. That was such a cool flashback back to COVID and 2021. And wow, it's really cool to see what the Lord was doing in my life then. Now, what do you think about this? Because we're talking about codependency as a worship disorder, and we're talking about pulling our whole embodied self under the Spirit, following the Spirit, abiding in His presence as the cure for codependency. We're talking about dying to self that we might live for Him. We're talking about having the whole of our being tuned like a tuning rod to Him, to His peace and His love. We're talking about coming back to our position of peace as our position of power. We're talking about attuning to Him greater than any person that's in front of me. Ooh. Let me tell you, there was a recent situation where I didn't do that, and there was some fallout from it. I got defensive rather than attuning to Him. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, that the world passes, that the world seems strangely dim. And I need to spend more time with Him, just listening to this podcast and thinking about COVID and the time that I spent with Him and the time that I spent focusing on Him doing that summit was really good for me to go back and listen to. What about you? What shifts do you need to make to attune more with the Lord and have your nervous system entrain or resonate or attune with Jesus more than any other person? He will heal your internal chaos. I love you, and I will see you in the next podcast. Let's see, you're getting this on a Friday if you're listening to it when it's released. So the next podcast that'll come out will be a guest podcast on Tuesday where I'm interviewing someone currently. And then on Thursdays, you'll get another solo podcast with me in our series From Codependent to Christ Dependent. I love you. Lord bless you.